Samuel Delaney is one of the grand masters of science fiction. His books, as Juno Diaz says, travel across the universe and through time, exploring mythology, utopia, class warfare. He's a gay African-American literary scholar who writes fearlessly about race and sexuality. Steve Paulson recently talked with him.
Mr. Delaney, you have often been called the first black science fiction writer. Is that true?
No, it just isn't. What you might say is that I'm the first black writer to come up through the commercial mechanisms of the distribution of genre science fiction in the second half of the 20th century.
So you're saying it really depends on how you define science fiction.
One of the problems, in fact, one of the reasons why we have the problem in the first place is that you can't define science fiction. It's not a definable category.
I guess I have a very sort of rudimentary understanding of science fiction. I mean, I guess I would have said it deals with the future or with alternative realities or hypothetical realities. You're saying that's too simple?
No, it's just one description of what some science fiction does. There are many science fiction stories that don't take place in the future. You can have alternative histories that take place in the past. Stephen Barnes, one of the more interesting black writers to write science fiction, has a novel called Lion's Blood, which starts back with Socrates and the initial incident that gets things going in a different way. Socrates decides that when his friends, as recounted in Plato's trilogy of dialogues, The Death of Socrates, offer him, well, you could escape. What Plato says happened is that he said, no, I'm too old. I'm going to stay here and I will drink the hemlock and die. Well, what would have happened if Socrates had said, okay, I will escape, and they had gone to Egypt and gone on teaching? And that, according to Barnes, is the beginning of an entirely new alternate history, which changes everything that happens in the world afterwards in a way that's really interesting. Suddenly, Egypt and Africa become the major countries because they get a certain kind of intellectual edge over everybody else because of the thinking of Plato and Socrates.
Right.
This is science fiction. It's perfectly good. It's really interesting science fiction, but it's alternate history.
I want to take you back again to the early part of your career because, I mean, you were a young prodigy. I mean, you wrote a number of science fiction novels in your early 20s. You won major awards very early in your career. And I guess I'm wondering whether the fact that you're black was an issue in how you were perceived in the science fiction world, especially back in the 1960s.
I don't think anybody knew I was black until my sixth or seventh novel. And then people began to realize, oh, yeah, and he's black. And then a couple of years later, and he's gay too. And that's basically how, you know, it all happened.
Well, I'm curious about how race has then figured into some of your own science fiction stories. I mean, for instance, I'm thinking of your 1984 novel, Stars in My Pocket, Like Grains of Sand. I mean, it takes place far into the future when human society has developed differently on thousands of planets, and the central character,
absolutely,
Rat, is described as being red-brown and undergoes a medical procedure that turns him into a slave, which is legal on certain planets.
Mm-hmm.
What were you trying to say about race there?
Race is a social construct. One of the things in that particular world, for reasons that you never particularly understand, there is a great deal of prejudice against people who are very tall. It's not a good thing to be very tall, and I'm sure the reasons that being tall was not a good thing on that particular world called Ryanon is the same reason why you have a difficulty if you're black or descended from black people who started out in Africa. Or brown people, or red-brown people, as the case may be.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that, I mean, one of the great things about science fiction is because it's not constrained by what we would call the tradition of realism, you can play out these ideas. I mean, it's this huge canvas that you can ask the biggest questions, including questions about the construction of race.
Yes, you can. Yeah. You can play with the ideas. It's not you play them out. You play with the ideas.
Well, and you also play with ideas of sexuality.
One of the big changes for me as a gay man, of course, was the AIDS crisis, which really was a huge change just in terms of my experience of what didn't happen to me, I'm still HIV negative, although for 3 years I actually thought I wasn't and was afraid to get tested. I was completely sure that I was going to die soon. You know, eventually I got the test. I got my HIV test and discovered that I was HIV negative. But it's something that really punctuated my life in a very important way.
And how did that figure into your fiction then?
Well, I started writing about gay situations. It's interesting. There were just two roundtables done on me, largely because recently I've been awarded the Grandmaster Award of Science Fiction.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. And it's quite an honor. But one was done by one group of people, all of whom, as far as I know, at any rate, were straight. And all they could talk about was my pre-Stonewall science fiction. And then the other one was done by a bunch of people who, many of whom were gay, and they were much more interested in talking about the relation of the pre-Stonewall stuff to the post-Stonewall stuff.
So can you actually divide your literary career into pre-Stonewall and post-Stonewall, Samuel R. Delaney?
Yeah. Just in a word, yes. It's yeah. Very, very easy to do that.
Now, one of the things that people will always comment on when they review your writing career is that you write a lot about sex, and often very graphically, and there are,
yes,
you know, explicit representations. I mean, you know, even in
have you ever had ungraphic sex? I mean, I haven't. How do you have ungraphic sex? So why not write about it the way it is?
So you're saying that's just what you do. You're just writing what really happens in the world.
That's what I'm trying to do in my most recent novel that a few readers, and not all that many, have, you know, sort of said, my God, all the things that he's writing about, you can find any of them on Google in 30 seconds. And people are doing this stuff. And what can I say? Some of them are living to ripe old happy ages with their, you know, with their progeny, you know, as well.
Is it fair to say that some of what you write is pornography?
Yeah. I use the – that's the word I use.
So it's not as if there's sort of the literary in one camp and pornography that's something totally different. I mean, there's no clear line between them.
No. Again, in the same way you can't define science fiction, you can't define any genre.
How do you explain the popularity of both science fiction and fantasy today? I mean, in popular culture, it is everywhere. It dominates Hollywood movies. Why now?
Well, if you look at it historically, most of the world's fiction is fantastical, whether it be the Paradise Lost, the Orlando Furiosos, back to the Iliad and the Odyssey. The truths that narrative have to tell are just helped on by a big helping of fantasy, and always have been.
Samuel R. Delaney, talking with Steve Paulson. Delaney was recently named Grand Master by the Science Fiction Writers of America for lifetime contributions. To hear an extended conversation with him, visit our website at ttbook.org, where you will also find more stories from our Flash Fiction Contest.